Hello and welcome back to the Rave Results Podcast. My name is Vix Meldrew, and in today's episode, I want to talk to you about the curse of the expert and why it can be a block to your program getting better results. We're going to talk about how difficult it is to switch from coach to teacher or service provider to teacher, and also talk about teaching itself and how when we try to differentiate our program for all of the different people at all of the different stages, we're doing ourselves and our clients an injustice versus when we get more specific over who our programs are for. So the first thing I want to share with you is this curse of the expert. And what happens is, whether you're a coach, a service provider, or a creator, you are creating programs because you want to give more value, and you are inherently, I would assume, a very generous person. You have had so much success or achievement in what you do, and you want everyone to have that. You know so much, and you want all of your people to know so much. You have so much experience that you want to share and tell everyone and share your stories. And you have so much expertise sat in your brain that you just want everyone else to have that expertise as well, so they can move forward and achieve things too. And because of that, what happens is, I call it the A to Z program problem. It is where, unless you get very specific over what you are truly the most expert at or the most experienced in, you find yourself, and actually one of my peers, Emily from Pass the Queso, says this about messaging. She calls it like fire hosing. You fire hose your ideal clients with messaging because you're not being specific over what you want to say. It's very similar in these programs, is that you fire hose your clients with all of the knowledge, all of your experience, all of your expertise, all of the tools, all of the transformations, because you believe it's out of generosity and you believe it's out of providing and proving value. But really, it causes more issues than not. Now, I often work with clients who come to me with these big programs. So they teach a really huge topic: business, money, marketing, even confidence, like really big, broad things. And they want to share everything they know about X, Y, Z. And why that's a problem is, like this podcast does, I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of our clients, of our learners, and just be in that position of being provided with so much A, information, and B, so much to do. As a learner, we want to climb the mountain that's in front of us. When we give our learners so much stuff, expertise, knowledge, tools, skills, things to do, what we're doing is we're making that ascent and then descent over that mountain. Oh my gosh, did you hear how my voice went there? That was weird. It sounded like an auto-tune machine. Anyway, we're putting way more blocks in their way to climb that mountain. They just want to get from A to B, or D to F, or M to Z, but they don't want to go from A to Z, because whilst they may think they do, whilst they may think they want a whole program on business and a whole program on marketing and a whole program on XYZ, realistically, there's only so much knowledge they can absorb and action that they can take in the limited time and capacity that they have. So again, it comes back to, why are we building these programs in the first place? Is it, let's be honest, a little bit of an ego thing where we want to, a little bit of a people pleaser thing, I would even say, where we want to impress people and we want people to like us and we want people to see how valuable we are, and we've equated overwhelming them and overloading them and overstuffing things with that value? Or do we want people to get a result? Because if we want our people to truly get results in our programs, we have to stop doing the A to Z thing. We are already seeing it. I'm already seeing it in my clients, in the online education world. A to Z programs are becoming much harder to sell because people are, it's not their first rodeo with investing into programs. And they know that when they've taken these overwhelming and overloaded programs before, they haven't got results. So they are very reticent to, I don't even know if that's a real word, to invest in a big A to Z program because they know that they haven't got results before. We're seeing people seeking more specific and specialist courses and programs that are going to solve for them that thing that's right in front of them, that is going to help them get over that mountain that's right in front of them in the most easy and achievable way possible. Other ways the curse of the expert can show up in your program is things like jargon, is speaking to people as if they are at the same level as you and forgetting what it's like to go back to being a beginner. This is what I feel is actually one of my strengths when it comes to course and program creation, is I really help challenge you to go back to that beginner. And I think it comes from that background that I had as a teacher and going into a lesson on telling the time, for example, and just being able to glance at a clock for 2 seconds and know that it was 1:05, forgetting the kind of construction of knowledge and experience that needed to happen for me to be able to do that. I'm getting there, and I've told this story before, with those children being like, guys, the big hand is on the 1:05 and the little hand is on the 1, so therefore it's 1:05. What do you not understand about that? I wasn't going back. I wasn't bringing it right back down to that foundational knowledge in that area of topic that they needed. So that's how I can show up too. I could be talking about the minute hand and the hour hand, and all they know is that it's the big hand and the little hand. They don't know what that means to be an hour, what that means to be a minute, that a minute is 60 seconds, that an hour is 60 minutes. Like, none of that means anything to them until I construct that. So again, what I'm seeing in program design is so much not, and it's so generous and it's out of so much experience and so much expertise, but they're just not meeting the students where they're at and taking them on the journey that they need to go on. They're overwhelming them. There's jargon. There's forgetting what it's like to be a beginner. There's lecture style lessons that aren't constructing learning. And that's why results are so low. We know it. We know those statistics, 2% self-paced course, 20% live program. That is low. And yes, we can always say it's on the clients to do the work. It's on the clients to do the work. But really, 80% of people who've invested into a program just didn't want to do the work. I don't believe that. Nah, I'm not. That's not swinging with me. What, 98% of people who buy a course didn't want to do the work? No, that's not what's happening here. What's happening is they're going into programs and courses that just aren't designed for them to get a result. And continuing on this theme of this curse of the expert, I just wanted to share with you how this shows up for coaches and how this shows up for service providers, okay? Because when you're a coach, you have predominantly worked with your clients one-to-one. You meet them exactly where they're at and you take them to where they want to be through your coaching skills and your coaching modality, NLP, tapping, whatever it is, EFT. Whatever your modality is, you take them from where they are to where they want to be. And you can have 10 different coaching clients who are all at different stages, who all need help with different things, who all have different gaps, and you can take them on their individual journey. You probably find that you get really good results with your one-to-one coaching because you are there in a closer proximity for a bit of maybe hand-holding, or maybe more so the accountability of watching the results and keeping them motivated and checking in and whatever happens in your coaching relationship. But you're individually filling individual people's gaps. When you then try and translate that to a program and you take it either two ways, you still try to fill individual gaps, but rather than one client at a time, you're trying to do it to 10, 20 clients at a time. And then you find that you're getting burnt out and that you're over-delivering and that it's all very complicated and it's not the kind of dream that you thought it would be. Or you try and take everyone on the same journey to get the same result, and you're finding that tricky too, because that is being a teacher, but you're a coach. So you're finding that tricky. What do you put in the curriculum? How do you get people from A to B or D to F or M to Z, like we spoke about before? So you just end up overstuffing. You just tell them everything because everybody's different, or you presume everybody's different. Everybody needs everything, and then everybody can get the result. That is what I tend to see happening. And it's very similar with service providers. So you have, let's say you're a web designer or a brand designer, you have your process for your one-to-one design work, your done-for-you design work. You know that you go through this process, then this stage, and then this deliverable, and then this is the kind of tangible final result. Again, you meet people where they're at with their different requirements and their different use cases, and you deliver the result of what your package or service is, right? But delivering a service and teaching your area of expertise is so different. Delivering a website versus teaching a website strategy is so different. And it is not just telling people what your process is. Step one, you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to do that. That is not teaching. And that's what I see, again, a lot with my clients, is that you're finding this transition from coach or service pro into teacher, into educator, tricky. And therefore, clients are coming into your group spaces or into your courses, and they're just not seeing the results. Often why I find this in, and this is, again, brings me back to my teaching background, to my curriculum background and being in a classroom, is that we would teach things in two different ways, and everybody has their own values around education and their own beliefs around education. But I'm going to fill you in. You would either teach a whole class of same age children, this is in the UK system, and the same age children, or roughly the same age, a few months apart or whatever, but they would all have massive degrees of ability, huge wide ranges of ability, and you would have to teach the same lesson to everybody at those different stages. Now, if you found yourself then trying, this is what I see the coaches do, trying to get to every 30 student and being like, okay, you're too advanced for this, you already know this, and now I'm going to have to give you something to challenge you and move you on, or you need a lot more extra help for this, but there's just one of me and there's 30 people here, so I can only give you like a little bit of extra help, and I've got to go and now help everybody else. That becomes so chaotic and so stressful. In teaching, you have to come up with constructed learning activities. Activities that are more open-ended, more action-oriented, so that those who are finding it trickier can still access it, and those who are already nailing it can go on and it's open-ended, so they can still keep challenging themselves and challenging themselves. That's hard to do if you don't have a teaching degree, teaching experience, because you really learn that on the job. You have to take each lesson that you're teaching and get deeper with the expertise and really pull it apart to say, all of these children, some of these children have never seen a clock before, and some of these children wear a watch and can tell me the time down to the minute. What is an activity I can create that everyone's going to be able to access at their level? That's so tricky to do. Obviously, it can be done, but it is really tricky. Another way to teach is that you almost stream them. So you look at each kind of subject, say, for example, time in maths, and you would say for this group of people, they are all looking to learn what the hour hand does. And this group of people are looking to tell the minute to the closest, tell the time to the closest minute on a digital clock. So therefore, you would then teach them all different phases of that skill, possibly not in the same lesson, or possibly you would, like, say if you had a year group partner, I used to have a year group partner, shout out Harriet, I know that she's not listening to this, where I would take the children, okay, you need to learn to the hour and to the half past, and this group of children need to learn to the quarter past and to the 5 past, 10 past and minute, and we would split them up. So that what we were creating, the process that we were teaching, was just relevant to those children. And it stopped that kind of hassle of this person needs this, person needs this, person needs that. We could just get very specific with what we were teaching. Now, when it comes to children in the classroom, things come into consideration around children like who are finding it trickier learn better from those children who are already further along. But there's also the argument to say that the children who are further along, it helps embed their knowledge to help teach the children that are earlier on in that learning journey. So I do get that there are arguments for that. However, there's also the flip side. There's also the imposter syndrome or the comparisonitis from those children who are really struggling, who look at those children who just get it and it makes them feel bad about themselves. And then there's the children who really get it and want to be challenged and want to be moved on, feel held back by the children who aren't getting it. There's so much going in there. And we have to bring that over to our programs as well, okay? Because there is a lot of similarities there. But the thing that kind of solves those issues is by creating your own framework, process, and constructed learning activities, aka through a curriculum, that helps a group of people move from A to B, from D to F, or M to Z. And keeping it so streamlined and specific that you only teach what's going to move them from half past to quarter pasts, what's only going to move them from what is even a clock to here's how you can tell what hour it is, versus I'm going to, in one lesson, going to take you from you've never seen a clock before to being able to tell it the time to the minute and the second. That's so overwhelming for everyone, right? How you avoid the curse of the expert is specificity. I can never say that, by the way. I always say specificity, but it's specificity, isn't it? I don't know. Tell me which one it is. Who are your people? What stage of the learning journey in your topic or in your area of expertise are they at? Are they at the A to B, or are they more at the D to F, or are they more the M to Z? And what is the one mountain that they're going to climb to take that transformation and just teach them that? Not only is that just good learning design and just good practice, but you will see more and more that consumers are moving towards specific programs to gain specific skills, to learn specific techniques, to have a specific shift. And you will see more of a swing away from these huge, gargantuan A to Z, let me teach you everything programs, because people know they just don't work. So what can be your takeaway? How are you going to avoid the curse of the expert in your next course, digital product, program? A few practical things that I can give you is, number one, avoid jargon. So if there's any kind of techie language that you have in your, sorry about Slack going off, by the way, I need to mute that. Oh my gosh, all my Slack's going off. Avoid jargon. Anything techie, really try to break it down and say in the most simplest terms, or even give people visualizations, illustrations, or metaphors for them so they can better understand them. Two, really try to take yourself back to when you were the beginner. What did it look like for you to first learn those skills or first go on that journey of that transformation? Really put yourself back into the shoes of your learner there. And three, map out your program more specifically. Get very clear on the person that it is for and the stage of their, or their kind of, how mature are they in your topic? In terms of, that, are they immature? They don't know anything about it, super beginner. Or are they maturing and they're intermediate, or are they advanced with your topic and they just want more, they want in depth, right? And then only teach them that one transformation that's going to get them to that destination that they want. All right, hopefully this episode was useful. Let me know if you are experiencing the curse of the expert. When I say that, just know it comes from generosity. It comes from wanting to have an impact, and it comes from wanting to prove your value. I totally get it. We never set out to overstuff and overdeliver in these programs in a negative way. Of course not. It's always out of just wanting to share your passion with the world. But just know, if you're listening to this podcast, I know that you know this by now. It is actually doing your students a disservice, and we can work together to really simplify, streamline, specify your program so that it delivers a strong transformation in one skill, in one shift. Okay, we can. And actually, I'm going to be talking more about this in this free class that I'm hosting on May 22nd called Rave, Refer, Retain. One of the things that will happen when you get more specific and more streamlined in your program is that you will give people the language to be able to rave about it. And I'll tell you how that is and why that is in that free class. It's called Rave, Refer, Retain, How to Drive Results in Your Group Program and Deliver a Rave-Worthy Experience. And you can go to raveresults.co/class to sign up. Thank you for listening today, and I'll catch you very soon. Bye.